Hi, my love. I hope you're enjoying Manifest Daily, whether this is your second or your 22nd episode. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date with our latest episodes. And if you really love the show, I would appreciate it if you could do me a huge favor by leaving a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. It really helps the show grow and reach more listeners like yourself. And like I said, I would be super grateful for you to leave that 5-star review. Thank you for being here and for being a part of this amazing and growing podcast community. Now, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. Hi, my loves. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is DeAndre Nicolette. If you're new here, my love, welcome. I'm super excited to have you tuned in to your first ever episode of Manifest Daily. And of course, if you're an OG listener, thank you so much for being here, my love, and strap in for another episode of your fave podcast. So, okay, I want to set the scene because I feel so chaotic. I think there's a theme here because I said this in the last episode too, I think, but I literally just put all my dishwashers in the dishwasher and I was going back upstairs to watch another episode of Psych, which if you've never seen that show, it's so hilarious. I used to watch it all the time with my mom back in the day and I saw that it was on Amazon Prime and I don't know, I've just been rewatching old episodes of Psych. It's such a good show. It's about these two best friends, and one of them pretends to be a psychic detective and they collaborate with the police department to solve crimes. But the guy who pretends to be a psychic detective, it's not that he's actually psychic, it's just that he's really good at spotting things and he has like photographic memory. So he's good at like picking up on little things that normal people just wouldn't see, you know? So anyways, I'm watching that show. So as I finish my dishes and I'm going back upstairs, I'm like, you know what? I want to record a podcast episode. And I was itching to do this earlier in the day today. And I ended up just getting out of the house and kind of, you know, running a bunch of random errands. But I'm like, you know what? Let me sit down and do this. Because whenever I have the urge to sit down and do an episode, I love to really honor that nudge because I feel like those episodes are the ones that really hit home with you guys. And they're also the ones that for me are the most cathartic and the most helpful. Because as you know, or maybe you don't know if you're new here, I am a self-projected projector. If you don't know what that means, please listen to the episode. Well, any of the human design episodes, but specifically the last episode I did, it was the last guest podcast human design episode. Why am I struggling with my words? This is going to be a fun episode, huh? But anyways, as a self-projected projector, I find a lot of my clarity from speaking out loud. So for me, whenever I need to solve a problem or kind of figure out where I'm at with things, it helps a ton to talk things out loud. And I didn't even realize like that's kind of what I was doing when I started the show. I just kind of wanted to talk and I didn't really have this big vision or agenda for starting a podcast when I did almost 5 years ago. I literally was like, I love to talk and why not, right? So anyways, that being said, we're here. It's going to be a really chill, chit-chatty episode, this episode. So snap in, strap in, grab a snack, get ready for me to butcher my words a million times in this particular episode. But we're going to talk about a lot of things that have been on my mind today in the past couple days. And we're also going to go through some questions because I used to do the Q&A episodes and I used to ask you guys to submit questions. And it's been a minute. The last one you guys submitted questions for was in May and I never recorded that one. So I actually went back and pulled the questions. And if you submitted a question and you know, you've already kind of figured out what you're doing, I apologize that this is coming so late, but I figured it would be also cool to include some of those in this particular episode. So let's just go ahead and kind of catch up. And I want to dive in and talk about where I'm at. And I feel like we can address the elephant in the room because I'm sure I'll have put it in the title. Yeah, I'm considering leaving Dallas. So that's fun. I feel so chaotic. And y'all know Haley Comet. If you don't know Haley Comet, again, she was on the podcast as a guest. She's an amazing astrologer. I'm actually enrolled in her self-care astrology course right now. She is just such a amazing soul. And she does these videos on YouTube called Magic Mondays, where she sets up the astrology for the week and kind of explains the different transits and what's going on. And this morning, well, oh my God, I feel like I should back up because there's so much more. Okay, let me proceed with this down this street here and we'll go to the other street in a second. So this morning I go to the gym and I was just going on a little bit of a walk and I was like, you know what, let me tune into Haley's Magic Monday video because I kind of wanted to understand some of the astrology because I've been a lot of different things have been coming up. I've been feeling a lot of things in like the past, honestly, like the past month, but like it feels like the energy has really been building in the past week. And I kind of wanted to understand some of the astrology of what was going on besides some of the high level things that I already know. So in Haley's video, she detailed, and I can't remember the exact transits and things, but she talked a bit about the Scorpio new moon, which would have happened yesterday by the time you guys are hearing this. And then she also talked about some placements or some transits or aspects with Uranus, which she explained it as, you know, you might be kind of feeling like you want to move or you want to switch things up or you kind of want to just like change things up drastically in your life because you're feeling called to change your external circumstances. And then she also went on to talk about how, you know, no matter how much you change your external circumstances, you're always going to be you, right? So if you're the problem, let's just say, like, if this is a example of like a problem situation, if you're the problem and you go to a different environment, you're still going to be the problem. So you've maybe switched up your environment, but you're still like the problem. So the problems, the chaos, the toxicity is going to follow you. So, you know, you also have to change the internal circumstances and environments as well. But she hit the nail on the head with this because I really have been thinking about this a lot. And it's so crazy. It's so insane to me. This is why I say never say never, because there are things that I feel like in any given moment, I'm like, I would never do that. Like, oh my God, like, absolutely not. And I always catch myself saying, well, you know what, Deandra, never say never, because I find that with myself personally, I go through a lot of transition periods or a lot of like times where I just want to shake things up and change things in my life. And so, you know, it really is a never say never situation, because there are things that I'm like, I would have never done that, or I would never do that, or I don't want to do that again. And then I do it. And it's not to say that I'm fake, but I always talk about this too, that you really have to honor the season that you're in and honor the version of yourself that's craving that particular change. And if, you know, a past version of you was like, I don't want to do this thing, it's not right, it's not aligned, but then things shift and you're, you know, you get different experiences or you have different data to work with in your life. And then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I kind of want to give that thing a chance, or I want to give that person a chance, or I want to give that opportunity a chance. It's not that you're a fake person, or it's not that you never really knew what you wanted, but it's just that you have a different set of accumulated information and you're allowed to change your mind. You're allowed to switch things up if you feel that it's time to switch things up. So I'm considering leaving Dallas, and it's so wild to me. And who knows, right? I say this today, it's Sunday, November 12th, but maybe by December 12th, I don't feel this way anymore. Maybe, you know, once my cycle comes, I don't feel this way anymore. Maybe February comes, I don't feel this way anymore. I really don't know. I can't tell y'all, but I can tell y'all what I'm feeling right now. So I have a friend here that I've met who's also from the Northeast. She's actually from New York. And when we met, it's so interesting because I think around that time was when I was starting to have these thoughts of, you know, should I leave Dallas and where would I go and why would I leave and all of these things. And when I met her, I shared some of that with her, and it's so wild because she was kind of in a similar space of considering leaving as well. And honestly, for a lot of the same reasons as myself. So I think it was really helpful to meet someone who shared some similar thoughts as myself, because I was so afraid to vocalize why it was or why I was considering leaving or some of the reasons I was considering leaving. And I'll share them with you because it's really kind of like, if I could put them in buckets, it's like two main buckets. The first bucket is the one that I feel the most afraid to share because I don't want to get judged on it. And at the end of the day, people are gonna, you know, think whatever they want to think about you. So at the end of the day, like, I can't control that. However, that's the one that I was feeling most nervous to share with anyone. And I wanted to talk this through with people in my life, but I was so afraid to share it with them because I didn't want them to think that, well, that's silly. And when I met this friend and we got into talking about it, we shared this similar reason as one of our reasons. And it felt so refreshing to connect with someone who felt the same things and know that I wasn't insane. So y'all have heard me talk about dating in Dallas before. Here's the thing. I recognize that dating, it's about perspective. Some people are like, oh, it's trash dating in my city, trash dating in my city. I don't think it's the cities. I think there are people that aren't a fit for you everywhere you go. And the majority of people aren't going to be a fit for you everywhere you go. You're like dating, finding solid friends, it's like a needle in a haystack because you're a very unique and particular person. You need to have someone who like fits up with your very specific high priority values in a certain way, and you need to fit with theirs in a certain way. And that's for any relationship, right? But moving to Dallas, I didn't really have a lot of time to do research or prepare. And I think that worked in my favor. I think had I sat with it and mulled it over and overthunk the whole thing, I don't think I would have moved here. I don't think I would have taken the leap in the way that I did. But instead, it was something that I did very quickly and very drastically and dramatically. And because of that, I was forced to make a decisive decision and live with it. And then I found myself here. And the longer I've been here, the more, you know, I've gone from, okay, this is a completely new city, I don't know anyone, to, okay, I'm settling in, I kind of know my way around, I know some of the cities, I kind of know the vibes of the different cities, I'm understanding things more, to now I feel like, okay, I'm starting to kind of build those like roots, right? I'm starting to really understand things in a more holistic way. That being said, the culture of Dallas, it wasn't an immediate shock to me when I first moved here because I was just kind of processing the fact that I even made such a decision in such a quick time. But now that I've been here for a minute and I've been dating for a minute and I'm starting to understand what I truly value in not only my romantic partnerships, but also my friendships, I'm starting to question whether or not I want to stay here. And this is only one of the reasons, okay? And I say that because, again, I know it's a major city, it's a big city. Not everyone thinks like this. Not everyone is like this. I have met people, like the majority of people I have met and gone on dates with or befriended, they share similar like thoughts as myself, or they think in a similar way, or they have similar goals as myself. But I would say that because of where Dallas is in the US, right? It's in the South, it's like Bible Belt, it's just very traditional Southern values, I found that there are times where I feel like an outsider because of that. And there were, when I first moved here and I kind of started to experience that more and more, I didn't mind it as much because I had moments where I was meeting people who made me feel like I was included, or I felt kind of like I can create the community that I want here no matter what, right? The environment doesn't necessarily dictate how I get to respond to it. It is what it is. I can't change, you know, the culture of Dallas, but I can change where I'm looking for friends or how I'm dating and things like that. But I've just found lately, and I don't know if it's something that will pass, and I guess this is what I'm trying to sit with and see, but I found lately that it's starting to feel more and more like I don't belong. And it sucks because I really do like Dallas. You know, it's one of those things where a lot of, like, let's go back to the dating example. You know, a lot of profiles of guys will talk about things like going to church, or they reference, you know, religion being really important to them, or they reference really wanting a traditional marriage and wanting someone who kind of wants to be in a traditional Southern heterosexual type of relationship where, you know, the man is like leading in a certain way and the woman, you know, is maybe like leading the household and they want kids and all of these different things. And when I left Boston, in some ways, I kind of thought that's what I wanted. And I think that is what I wanted at the time. And the older that I've gotten, and I think this happens with age, right? The older that you get, the more experience that you have, the more you get to know yourself on a deeper level, the more you date, the more you befriend people, the more jobs you have, whatever, you really do get to learn like, okay, who am I in this season? And I think that the version of myself that I am in this season doesn't really feel aligned with some of those things. And again, not every single guy is like that here. Okay. But if we look at it from a statistical perspective, the location of where I am and just the values and culture for the majority of people who live here, it fits into that bucket. And so I naturally have less people to choose from when it comes to what I'm looking for and what I want. Even just my view on different political things, let's just put it there, is not really fully aligned with a lot of like the people here. And that can also feel a bit isolating as well. So I'm just sitting with it, like I said, because I really like Dallas, but I was chatting with my friend JC, and I know you guys are familiar with JC now that we've had him on an episode and we met for coffee yesterday and we were catching up. But one of the things he said to me that really did ring true was he said, well, the things that you like about Dallas aren't unique to the city. He was like, the things that I like about Dallas are very unique to the city, you know, whether it be like specific sports teams or just kind of like certain things that are very, very Southern and very unique to Texas or Dallas, perhaps, like even down to some of the foods and things like that. But the things that I like about Dallas, like, to be quite frank with you, are things like just like shopping related things, or even just kind of the architecture of like the homes and things like that I really enjoy. But it's not something that is completely unique to this specific city. So when he pointed that out to me, he was like, you know, this isn't a matter of like, if you leave here, you can't ever find anything that has like the things that you like, plus more of the culture that you like. He's like, in fact, it's more likely that you can find a place that has the things that you like about this particular city, plus the culture that you feel that you're missing. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it. And like I said, I was sitting with that and I was just like, oh, like I, you know, it sounds silly to be like, oh, you would move because of dating, which I, you know, and I want to do an episode on decentering men and decentering romantic relationships. And I know this seems completely contradictory to that, but I think it's less about the men and more about the values and the culture of the majority of the city. And again, I understand that it's a melting pot of people and there are a lot of transplants here, so not everyone thinks that way. But what I've also found, though, is that a lot of the transplants are transplanting here because they share those values. And because, you know, whether they were from the Northeast or the West Coast or a different country even, they come here because they're looking for that traditional value. They're looking for that, you know, that sort of like religious base. And they're looking for that. And that isn't really me. And so I just find that sometimes it makes me feel a little bit like an other in this city. Yeah. So I am in this space where I'm not really sure, you know, if I'll leave. I have my lease here until summer of next year. And then I have to decide what it is that I'm going to do. And the reason I say never is because I'm actually considering moving back to Boston, which is so crazy to me. And this brings me to my second reason. I love Boston as a city, but when I moved to Dallas, I said this to you guys so many times, but I noticed how much the sun comes out here. And I love the sun. I love sunny days. I love warmth. And so for me, like the sun, the heat of Dallas, I thrive in that. Okay, Boston doesn't really have that like that. And so whenever I go back to Boston, it just feels so gloomy. And I'm like, oh God, it's cold and it's rainy and it's like annoying. But the reason I'm considering going back to Boston is because when I think about, you know, building community, or when I think about the times that I am having kind of like my struggle days, like today I woke up and I wasn't, you know, in the best of moods. I kind of was in a very like frumpy mood. I wasn't feeling good. And I was like, today's a day where I would love to just kind of like call up my best friend Monica and be like, hey, what are you doing? Like, could I come over and like, let's hang out? Or even, you know, text my parents and be like, what are you guys doing? Let's grab lunch or something. Right. And it's something that I know a lot of people, you know, they'll move back to their hometown or they'll move to where their family is because of that. And I just always really figured that if I were to build that community here in Dallas, like it would keep me here, you know? And I don't think that's wrong. I think that's actually quite accurate. But I think what's happened is that I haven't really been able to build the community in the full way that I want it. And I just find myself kind of craving that familiarity of people who have known me for most of my life. I also recognize like being, you know, being like real about the situation and kind of sitting in a space of reality with it and understanding that even if I were to live there, it's not like I would see these people every day, or it's not like I wouldn't get annoyed with them, or, you know, it's not like I wouldn't be annoyed with how little sun Boston gets. But it is a place where I am like, because the, like, there, honestly, most of my friends are spread out. So it's not like most of my friends live there, but it's like, the person who I've been friends with the longest is there, and my parents are there. And so I am considering it. I actually have an astrocartography reading scheduled this week because I'm like, okay, I need to like book a reading and see, because even before I was thinking about Boston specifically, I remember I was thinking about cities in general. And I was kind of thinking like, where would I want to live if I wanted to live anywhere? And I actually plan to make a list of some cities and just go and visit and see what they were like and see if I like them. Like I said, with Boston, there is that familiarity. Like I love Boston. Like, it was never a thing of hating Boston. It was always a thing of that's all I knew. And I didn't really feel like going back to something that I already knew. And also the other thing that, you know, I was telling my friend tonight, because we literally got on the phone and we're chatting about this earlier too, is that when I went through my breakup in New Jersey and I was considering a place to move, at that time in my career, I wasn't making as much money that I make now, and not like I'm making a ton more now or anything like that. But at the time, I couldn't really afford the type of apartment that I wanted in Boston. It was like, I would have to get kind of like, just not the type of apartments I want. And if you're not familiar with like prices of apartments in the US or even in Boston, Boston is one of the most expensive cities to live in. Like, coming to Dallas, I'm in a two bedroom, like multi-level townhome for the price that I pay now. Like, I went and was doing research on rents. The rent for one bedroom, one bath in Boston, like not even in the city, like in Quincy, okay, so nearby, but in Boston or outside of Boston, are more than my two-bedroom, two-bathroom townhome in Dallas, for reference. And the townhome that I have here, like, people would consider that expensive here. So to put it into perspective, like, Boston is so expensive of a city to live in. And so when I was in that place of, okay, do I want to go back to Boston? Do I want to go to Dallas? One of the things that actually did factor in kind of heavily was the cost of living. Because when I looked at the cost of living, it was either get a shitty apartment that I wouldn't like or go and live with my parents. And I was like, I don't want to go back home to live with my parents. Like, I'd had a taste of freedom, you know, and I had a taste of what it was like to have my own decor and my own space and kind of like be able, just have my own vibe. And I was like, I do not want to go back. Now that I'm in a place where, you know, I could afford to live in one of the apartments that I want, I'm like, okay, this could, I could make this work. I could make this work. And it's kind of like, what would that look like? I think, you know, when we're in that period, and this is something that JC and I talked about yesterday, but when you're in that period of considering a really big life change, it often seems so daunting. Like, you're thinking about all of the different things that you have to do, all of the different hoops that you would have to jump through, and all of the different hurdles in your way. And it seems so big, right? But you have to remember, there were times where you went through similar things and you jumped through those hoops and you went through it and you made it through on the other side and you're thriving. Like, you're literally living in a manifestation of something that at one point was a challenge to you, something that at one point was a goal, an aspiration, and you made it here. So as I'm thinking about this, you know, one thing that was coming up was like, damn, like, if I, well, there were a couple of things that have come up. It was like, one, damn, if I move, like, moving to another part of the country again, like a cross country move. And this time I would have furniture. Whereas the first time I literally just moved with boxes of clothes in my suitcase and moved here. But this time it would be like furniture and TVs and, you know, all of that good stuff. But I was like, if I could organize a move across the country in less than a week by myself and figure it out middle of COVID, I can move back to that same place if I wanted to, like, not in COVID, you know, not middle of a pandemic. So that's kind of where I am with it. And yeah, I'm just trying to be like really open-minded and not judge myself for this. Because the other thing that was coming up was like this feeling of failure to have left Boston and come back. And I don't know why that is. I think, you know, part of it is just kind of that sort of stereotype of the person that never leaves their hometown. I was like, I never wanted to be the person that had to leave to come back. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I logically know that. But I think when I think about it, there's a little bit of shame there of like, oh, like I failed at being here, which is not true. I know it's not true, but it feels kind of like, did I fail? You know, I don't know. I guess I just also going through my Saturn return, and like I'm turning 30 next year. And I think there's so much coming up with that too, because I genuinely didn't see this being my life at 30. Not that it's bad. Okay. Not that it's bad, but when it's just something that it's not what you saw, it's so, it's like you have to kind of get used to understanding that sometimes the life that you saw for yourself isn't what's best for you, you know? Because I think I saw a very like domestic life, and not to say that won't ever be my life, but I think that because it's not my life now, and I thought it was going to be that, there is that feeling of failure. And I think that's definitely exacerbated by this thought process of I might be leaving Dallas. And yeah, which is crazy because I don't know. I really don't know. We're going to have to sit with this, because sometimes I think of things, I think I feel so strongly about it, and then a week goes by and I'm like, why was I thinking that again? But I will say that for how strongly I am feeling about it today, it's not something that came out of nowhere. Like, this has kind of been my thought process for a little bit now, because of the fact that, like I said, just the values and things like that. And then also just kind of really wanting to spend more time with like my parents and Monica. And I think that if you have been around here for a while, you also know that I didn't have a really good relationship with my father for a while. And like, now it's in a good place. So I think there's also that part of me that's kind of like, okay, now that, girl, I'm feeling very emotional right now, but now that we're in a good place, it feels like it's safe to come home, you know? It's like safe to go back, because that was also another part of it, is like I didn't want to go back to Boston because we weren't in a good place. When I left New Jersey, we literally were not speaking, and throughout the time that I've been in Dallas, like that relationship has healed. And so, you know, there's still more work to be done, but I think now that we're in a place of like, you know, we chat like multiple times a week, and, you know, he's someone that I feel like I can truly count on. I feel like, okay, maybe it's time to go home, because that community that I'm like, I feel like it's missing. Like there feels like there's just something missing. Like maybe it's there. And when I was chatting with my friend about it today, we were kind of talking about how, you know, again, the thing where you change the external circumstance, but you don't change things. Because again, if I were to go back to Boston, it's not like I can just hang out with my mom and Monica all the time. Like they're busy. They have their own lives. You know, even my dad, like he's busy. He has like work or lunchbox. Lunchbox is busy. Lunchbox is booked and busy, baby. Don't play with him. Okay. He has things to do, honey. But I'm just like, you know, I would have to make friends. And even though, you know, there are people that I went to high school and college with that are still in Boston, it's like I would kind of feel compelled to really put myself out there and make friends again. So in many ways, it would be starting over. You know what I mean? I like, y'all, I forget how the tea works. Like because I also was considering if I do move back to Boston, not getting a car, because my car lease is up next year. So I was thinking, in order to afford these freaking expensive ass apartments, your girl might just like not have a car, which is so like crazy to me, because I'm very much like a person who like loves being in my car. I'm a car girly, okay? But I was considering not bringing a car. And that's, and again, goes back to the benefit of having my community there, my parents there, because literally the neighborhood I'm considering is really close to them. So I was like, if anything, I could just like borrow their car when I need it. Because that's what I do when I go home to Boston. It's usually I just use my mom's car. So I like drop her off at work and take the car. So yeah, don't know. We'll see. I need to order my plane tickets to Boston probably this week because it's already November and I know those tickets are about to be ridiculously expensive. But when I go back, I actually have a list of apartments that I'm going to tour. I have my astrocartography appointment this week and I will follow up with you guys and let you know what comes from that. And we'll see. So if you are in Boston, you might be seeing me soon. If you're in Dallas and I do end up leaving, let's hang out. Let's get coffee or something. What did I say like that? Let's get coffee or something before I leave. And yeah, by this time next year, I don't know, maybe everything will be different. Who knows? Who knows? I have a secret. Well, I guess it's not a secret anymore because I'm literally talking about it at this moment, but the Manifest Daily membership version 2.0 is launching on August 2nd, 2024. An 11-2 day on my numerology calendar, might I add. If you are part of the 2020 membership experience, you will be blown away by what I have in store. The upgraded membership offers exclusive access to a treasure trove of lifestyle and spirituality resources designed to elevate every aspect of your life. From monthly wellness challenges and inspirational emails to guided meditations, live events with guest experts, and a comprehensive resource library, the Manifest Daily membership, reinvented and elevated, has everything you need to thrive on your journey to fostering holistic well-being and unlocking your fullest potential. Sign up for launch notifications via the link in my show notes or head to my website at themanifestdaily.com for more info. And don't forget to add August 2nd, 2024 to your calendar right now, my loves. See you there. No matter how well life is going for me, there's something about that pre-cycle week that's going to throw me off every single time. It's usually a mix of crazy cravings, emotional mood swings, bloating, some sleepless nights mixed in, and that can definitely take a toll on me, especially when it lands on a busy week. This is where Hormone Happy by Happy Mammoth comes in to help. Hormone Happy contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which help the body to adapt to any stressors like those caused by the chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. If you're a woman dealing with things like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts or low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or occasional bloating and gas, then you can definitely benefit from Hormone Happy. Happy Mammoth makes no compromise when it comes to the quality of their products, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MANIFESTDAILY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code MANIFESTDAILY for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, let's go ahead and transition into the questions. Oh, before we actually transition into the questions, I want to recap my trip in Mexico a little bit for you guys because I got a DM about this and I was like, I can recount a little bit, but maybe not too much because it was a work trip actually. So as you guys know, I work for a media company. I work in marketing, social media. Yeah, I do have a 9-to-5 because listen, the bills have to get paid. Okay, honey. Bills have to get paid. So we had our company retreat, which we hadn't had an actual full company retreat since I think like 2018 or 2019. And I started at the company in 2020. So I've been on like trips with that company and met some of my coworkers, but I haven't met a lot of them because we're all remote and like work in different like states and countries and things. So we had this retreat in Mexico City. It was so cool going to Mexico City. First of all, the traffic in Mexico City, if you live in Mexico City, how are you doing it? Because the traffic was crazy. Like we had such a packed schedule for the things that we were doing every single day. And every single day we were running like an hour to 2 hours late because of traffic going from different places, which was so wild to me. It was bumper to bumper. Okay. But it was such a good experience. I feel like you know, when you're working remotely, it can get really easy to feel like you're siloed off from your team, as if you're kind of like you're working and you're doing the things, but you can kind of lose sight of the collective goal and kind of the reason for doing things, or even just kind of like lose that motivation and inspiration to do stuff. And I feel like whenever I meet coworkers in person, whether it's at, you know, I've gone to like different events and conferences with the CEO and like the sales team, or whether it's with my team, the social team, going to conferences, it just brings about this like renewed sense of collectivism and wanting to really show up my best at work. And I got some amazing ideas for things I want to do with my team. I also feel like there are times in my job where, you know, I get into this rut almost of doing the same things with my team, like not really thinking outside of the box. And one of the reasons I wanted to work in marketing was to have those abilities to think outside of the box and come up with really cool campaigns and push the envelope in different ways and be creative. It's literally a field of being creative, right? And I feel like I haven't really been doing that as much in my role, and it's been causing me to feel like just fear of like not doing good in my role and kind of like, damn, I'm not showing up in the best way. And so, you know, having that collective group retreat was really cool because I got to meet so many, like literally everyone else in the company that I have not met. There were people on my team, even some people who just started on my team that I have not met. And it was so cool to meet everyone. And it was also really good to just get some new ideas flowing. And then I remember the last night that we were there, a couple of people on my team let me know that they thought I was such a good leader for the team and such a good boss. And they were really happy with like just kind of the work that we were doing, and just they felt they could really trust me in leading them. And that was such an emotional moment, because sometimes I feel kind of like, you know, I don't know if I'm doing the best job. I really try to check in and ask everyone like what they need to feel supported, and you know, how I can help them, and just kind of like really encouraging growth and encouraging people to bring fresh ideas to the table, because it is a group effort, right? I can't be the only one like a dictator at the top, like this is what we're doing. I want people to really feel compelled and empowered to bring those ideas to the table, and to hear that feedback that they really do feel that way was really it just made me so happy. So it was a good trip. I have pictures on Instagram. I actually I reignited my personal Instagram. It's just Deandra Nicolette. The Manifest Daily Instagram is still live at The Manifest Daily, but all of the personal pictures and stuff are up on Deandra Nicolette if you want to go see some pictures from the trip in Mexico and the fits. So, okay, let's go ahead and transition into some of the questions that you guys had from the Q&A situation. So the first question that we have is, how did you start showing up online? Okay, so this, I literally just like created the podcast. I've told this story before, but it was 2019, right after New Year's. I was at Monica's house and we were doing our goals. This was before the Manifesting Gold Digger Planner was a thing, but baby, it was giving very much V1. But we used the little planner that I created for us and printed at Staples, like write down our goals and stuff. And for me, I just wanted to start a podcast because I wanted to talk. And so it was never this thing of like, oh, you know, what are people going to think and yada, yada, yada. I just kind of was like, I'm going to do the thing and whatever. I think that as I've gotten older, that fear of being seen or that fear of being judged is actually grown more. And I feel like one of the cool things about youth is your naivete when it comes to judgments or, you know, anyone thinking anything of what you're doing or taking actions. You know, a lot of people who are younger that start companies, you know, you'll hear stories about how they just made really rash and crazy and big decisions without really overthinking it because there wasn't fear. There wasn't, or maybe there was, but they didn't even know what to be afraid of to feel the fear, right? And so when I started showing up online, I didn't know, like, I wasn't thinking about haters and trolls and any of that or people judging me. I was just thinking, I want to do this thing, so I'm going to do the thing, right? I think as you get older, you start to take on those fears more because you know, kind of like, you start to think more about the evils of the world and kind of what people could say and all that stuff. So yeah, I know there was a second part to this question about this person wanting to show up online. So if this is you and you're like, okay, how do I do it? You just have to do it. Like, people are going to always have something to say about you. You know, I've said this before, if it helps you set boundaries, right? Set boundaries where people can comment, set boundaries where people can, you know, engage with you. And I know that maybe takes away the social part of the social media. And I mean, I suppose that also goes along with your goal. If you want to be a content creator, you kind of have to still have ways of engaging with people and, you know, all that good stuff. I've come to realize I don't really want to be a content creator in the traditional way. So for me, I'm gonna turn them comments off, baby. Like, you're not finna talk to me no crazy type of way. So, you know, set your boundaries and, you know, figure out, I guess, for you, like, what that goal is. Like, is it you just kind of want to start a business, or you want to be a content creator, or you want to just share? Like, if you're just sharing to help other people, then you have to remember that, like, that person that needs to hear what you have to say, it's more important than the people that are mad about what you have to say. Because the people that are mad about what you have to say, it ain't none of their business. Like, if they really are that mad, like, they could just block you or turn you off or unfollow you. Like, I don't understand why people feel the need to follow along and talk back and talk shit. It's like, don't you have things to do? Because I know we all have some errands to run. So anyways, yeah, at the end of the day, you literally cannot control, like, what people think of you and what they say. But, like, if that's something that you're so excited about and wanting to do, that is worth way more than what other people have to think about it, you know? Okay. So the next question, someone says, I currently have a good paying job, but it's a far commute and I work weekends. It's kind of affecting my mental health, but I've been looking for new jobs and it seems like I get interviews for lower pay, but the schedule I want, I need advice, pros and cons to both, not sure which one is the better option. I'm going to always advocate for the mental health. And okay, listen, easier said than done, right? Because this involves money. I would, like, look at it from a practical sense, right? If the pay is significantly lower, like, if you would have to change your lifestyle, you now have to evaluate whether or not you can do that. If it means maybe you have to move, if it means getting a roommate, if it means eating out less, like, what are the sacrifices that you have to make? Like I said, this move, for, I'm going to just bring it back with this example, me considering moving to Boston, you know, I am, with understanding the rent is higher, I have already, like, made the decision that if I were to do it, I would not be working out at Equinox. Y'all would not be seeing me at Equinox in Boston, because maybe that membership option over there is a different price tier. So it's like, in my head, I'm like, that's a sacrifice that I would have to make to live in an apartment that I really like. So if for you, you know that you can take the lower pay and it, maybe it's like eating out less, maybe, you know, you don't have a gym membership anymore, but you just use your apartment gym. Maybe you, I don't know, what are the other changes you can make to your budget that you would, it would help you accommodate with, like, the lower pay? If it's doable, I would say do it, because I found that, or the other option you can do is, like, keep the good paying one and stack up a little bit, like, save a little bit, and then, like, leave, and then get one of the lower paying ones. Because I find that the jobs where your mental health is in jeopardy, like, it really is not worth the money. Like, I know, and sometimes the money be real good. It be real good with some of the jobs, but baby, because, like, it takes such a toll on you. And in my experience, I've had a job at a really well-known company, and it was not good for my mental health, and I had to leave because I was just like, yeah. And I remember having to pay back the bonus they gave me because I left early on. I knew it was because if I stayed there, like, my mental health would be severely affected. So I would always advocate, not me burping on the, I'm sorry. I would always advocate for mental health, like, because at the end of the day, if you don't have your sanity, if you don't have your mental health, if you are making money but you are depressed, like, come on, you know what I mean? It's so not worth it. And the other one, like, you have the schedule that you want, so think about it now. It's now you can do things on the weekends. Now you can kind of have more of a social life, it sounds like. Just, I would really always advocate for that. And for me, it's always been a thing about, like, freedom and time freedom. Next question is, I have a career partnership with my ex baby daddy and he thinks he can talk shit to me and downgrade me. I wish I could cut ties completely, but for money reasons, I can't. What advice would you give me? Well, I don't know. Because, see, the thing is, you're telling me you can't cut ties completely. But here's the thing. You're not about to talk to me no type of crazy way. That, like, first of all. Okay, so I understand if y'all have to, like, have a career partnership. So maybe you have a business together and, like, you can't cut ties because now you're going to lose your business. But you need to tell that man, and I'm sure, I don't know, maybe you have done this or maybe you haven't done this, but if you haven't done this, I would definitely like let him know you're not about to sit around and just take his shit talking, because it sounds to me like if he's talking shit to you and downgrading you, he probably thinks that he can do that. And so you have to show him like he can't do that. I also think, you know, depending on what the ties look like, you, again, going back to the boundaries thing, but like setting boundaries. So it's like, you know, if, for example, let me see, I'm trying to think of like how we would set boundaries here, but I'm just thinking of like basically cutting contact with him, but except for the work things, you know what I mean? So it's like just letting him know, like, you can't text me about anything unless it has to do with like, I guess our child and our work, just making it very, very, very clear. I don't know, like, that's tough because I don't know exactly what the business is, because I'm like, girl, maybe can't you, is there any way you could get out of the business? Because I don't like that. I just don't like the thought of, like, I guess someone feeling like they could talk shit to you. And I also wonder too, if it's a situation where he has control over the money, or he has like, he's like holding something above your head. Cause if it's something where he is in a place to control more of the money or something, and he kind of feels like he has that power over you, like he gonna keep talking that shit, because at the end of the day, like, he really does have the power to take the money away if he's in that position, obviously. But yeah. So I don't know. My advice is boundaries here. If you can like find a different job, or if there's any way to like sever the ties as much as possible with business. So if that means something like you change your personal number, and like, but then I'm like, if you get a business number and a business phone and you tell him like, only text me about business on here, he don't sound like he gonna listen. He don't sound like he'll listen. So people like that, like, I feel like people who transgress over the boundaries, as I always talk about, I truly personally think it's the best thing to just cut them off completely, because it's a mental illness. Like, they don't get it. They don't get it. They're going to keep doing that. So yeah, if you can set as many boundaries as possible, and then like, if there's any way to find either a different job or to sever ties, or I don't know why I'm thinking like, if you can involve a lawyer somehow, which I don't know if this is, I am no lawyer, so I don't know if there's even like a legal way to do this, but just to legally set boundaries, like maybe drawing up some sort of, not a restraining order, but something that basically says like, this person can only talk to me about the business, about our child, and nothing else. Like, I'm sure there's some type of law or some type of thing that you can do, or maybe there's not, because would that go against the Constitution? It might. But wouldn't a restraining order go okay? Anyways, but yeah, if you could do something like that, and if you have any, I'm sure if you go to a lawyer and you have like proof of him just saying the most vile shit, like, I'm sure there's something they can do to make sure that he has boundaries that are legally enforced. So if he starts talking some type of crazy shit, you'd be like, I'm gonna sue you. I don't know if that's how it works, but it sounds like it could be a thing. So I would look into that. Okay. So I'm saying, how can I open up for new relationships when I feel like there's no hope? Well, I would say, I read that really weird. Let me read that again, because I feel like I just said that and butchered it weirdly. So how can I open up for new relationships when I feel like there's no hope? So you got to have a little bit of hope, because if you have no hope, honestly, there's not that there's no point, but what's that quote? Your reality is perception, or your perception. I'm butchering that quote, but you guys get what I'm saying, right? It's literally about how you see the world is going to be what's reflected back to you. So if you are someone who says, all people suck, I'm never going to have good relationships, everyone, you can't trust anyone, everyone is just a bad person, that's what you're going to see reflected back to you. You're not going to see the good people who want to show you love. You're not going to see the trustworthy individuals. You're going to see more of like what you're saying and what you're putting out there, essentially. So if you want to open up for new relationships, you have to open up. You have to be willing to see that there are good people out there. I think one of the best ways to do this is to expose yourself to people or relationships that are kind of like what you want to experience. So if you're not seeing any in your real life, TV shows are a good way to do this. So like watching TV shows. So like I said, I'm watching Psych right now. I think that's also why I miss my best friend, because they have such a funny relationship and I find myself laughing out loud with that show so much. But that's one, or not, I mean, you can watch Psych if you want, but like watching TV shows where you see people who are experiencing good relationships, where you see people who can trust others, where you see people that are living really good lives and kind of knowing that that is possible. Like, yes, it's a TV show, okay, but it is possible. And allowing yourself to kind of let that ice melt, take your walls down a little bit, because I know that when it comes to closing off, oftentimes it's a reflex of being hurt before. It's a reflex of people kind of not showing up for you in the way that you need them to or the way that you want them to. And that sucks. Like, there's nothing that can change that past. But you also have to remember that not everyone is like that. Not everyone is going to hurt you. Not everyone, you know, has bad intentions. If you yourself are a good person with good intentions and you want, you know, amazing relationships and you're willing to be that good friend, that good partner, that good family member, there are other people like you. You're not the only one in the world. You're not the only one out of like 8+ billion people that is a good person. So yes, you know, statistically said, there might be more people that are hurt and need therapy and are traumatic and are just not great in the way they show up in the world. But there are also a lot of really good people as well. I have a secret. Well, I guess it's not a secret anymore because I'm literally talking about it at this moment, but the Manifest Daily membership version 2.0 is launching on August 2nd, 2024. An 11-2 day on my numerology calendar, might I add. If you are part of the 2020 membership experience, you will be blown away by what I have in store. The upgraded membership offers exclusive access to a treasure trove of lifestyle and spirituality resources designed to elevate every aspect of your life. From monthly wellness challenges and inspirational emails to guided meditations, live events with guest experts, and a comprehensive resource library, the Manifest Daily membership, reinvented and elevated, has everything you need to thrive on your journey to fostering holistic well-being and unlocking your fullest potential. Sign up for launch notifications via the link in my show notes or head to my website at themanifestdaily.com for more info. And don't forget to add August 2nd, 2024 to your calendar right now, my loves. See you there.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, next question, or next, it's like a comment and a question. So this person says, thanks a lot for your wonderful content on Manifest Daily and keep doing the great work. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. They also say, I especially love the dating topics here and there and would love to hear your thoughts on having resentments towards other people who seem to have it easier to find someone. I found myself tired of weddings and engagement parties, which is horrible to admit, but I only attend them to be a good friend and celebrate the couples, not because I truly enjoyed the event. It triggers my anxiety towards romantic love. Okay, I don't know. Maybe this is a controversial take because some of y'all going to be like, side eye me with this take. But y'all have heard me say it before, okay? I don't think this is horrible to admit. I think that a lot of people who are single and have coupled friends have felt this same thing. If not to say they feel it all the time, but they felt this pang of jealousy, or I wouldn't say envy, because I think one of them is like more malicious. I think it's envy. But they've felt this pang of jealousy before, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. The biggest thing with this is always how you respond, right? It's one thing to feel a pang of jealousy, because that is a very, very, very human emotion. And often jealousy, we feel it because there's someone who has something that we would love to experience. And that's exactly what's happening here, right? But obviously, if you feel jealous and you do something malicious to express that jealousy, that's one thing. If you feel jealous and you're able to admit it and to kind of be like, you know, I'm working through this and I feel this way because of this, I think that's healthy. Like, I feel like you're talking about what you feel and you're trying to work through it and you're not trying to hide it, which I think would be worse than being like, I don't feel jealous at all. I'm happy. And you're just like literally insane. The thing that kind of has been helping me a lot with this, because I also have felt this come up recently, especially as I'm getting older, and I feel like most of my close friends now are either engaged or already married. They're, you know, on their first, second child. Like, and I'm kind of like, here I am figuring out where I want to live. Ah. I think it's easy to kind of feel that sort of pang of jealousy or even resentment, especially if it does seem like they have it easier to find someone, you know, especially if you're the friend where you're still single and maybe you have a friend who's like gone from like their, you know, second boyfriend to third boyfriend to fourth boyfriend. And at the same time, you've been single and you've yet to find someone. Like, I understand that. The biggest thing that I try to remember with this, and sometimes it hits with helping me, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, it depends on the day truly, but is that with love and romantic love, like you can't, it's not a matter of working hard. I think that's also my struggle with it, because I'm the kind of person that I want to understand what's the goal. I want to break it down. I want to be like, okay, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to get to the goal at X, Y, and Z time. Like, I like formulas like that. I like a good roadmap. Love has no formula. Love has no roadmap. It's really fucking annoying. I cannot tell you how much it irritates me. But that being said, it's not necessarily like that. I guess like they do have it easier in a way, but it's not that they're better than you or doing something different than you. It's just that when it comes to love, it's very much kind of like a time and place thing. It's very much like random and sporadic. If it's your time, it's your time. If it's not your time, it's not your time. There's literally nothing you can do about that. And trust me, I'm the person that I have been on all of these apps. I'm back, girl. I know, I'm on the apps, I'm swiping, I'm updating my profile, I'm changing the pictures, I'm writing out these prompts, I am telling people I'm single, I'm going to speed dating, I'm doing the things, right? And for some of y'all listening, I know you're probably like, well, that's why you single, girl. Because they always say it's when you stop looking, but let me tell you something about me. I'm a persistent ass person, okay? I am the kind of person that you tell me I can't have something and I work harder. So really and truly, the people who are like, you gotta stop trying, it'll come to you. Wrong person. Don't tell me that, because guess the fuck what? I'm gonna keep trying harder and it's really problematic. But anyways, that being said, yeah, it's luck, or not even luck, because I don't really believe in luck. It's divine timing, because I was also gonna say it's random. It's none of it's random. None of it's luck. None of it's coincidence. It's their time. And that's what it is. It's not your time yet. The other thing too to remember is, let me tell you something right now, the grass is not always greener, okay? And that's something that I've also had to come to find out, is sometimes you think like, oh my God, they have the most perfect relationship and oh my God, da, da, da. And the whole time behind doors, it's a lot of arguing, it's a lot of fights. And not every relationship is like this, right? I know that there really are some couples that are in good relationships, and you know, relationships are ups and downs anyways. But I also say this to say, like, it's not always what you see. And so it doesn't really help to envy something that you don't really understand fully what's going on behind closed doors. So lately, I've just been focusing on me. And I think that, you know, it is hard, because when you're seeing it happen to everyone, it kind of feels like you're missing the boat in some ways. But I just try to like live my life through this lens of, okay, if I were to never get into a long-term relationship, if I'm going to be single for the rest of my life, like, how do I want to live my life? What would make me happy? And live from that perspective. And yeah, but I do understand exactly what you're saying. I haven't really had to go to a lot of like engagement parties or weddings, because everyone's kind of in a different place and COVID was a thing. But I can, you know, imagine what that's like. And I think that your time will come. I don't know when. I wish I could tell you that. I mean, I really, really wish I could, because I sometimes think that would help to alleviate the anxiety. But I also just think that, yeah, it's just tough. And I feel like sometimes it might feel like no one really understands where you are. But guess what? I understand. Okay, I understand where you are. And I get it. And our time will come. And I also wholeheartedly believe that when that time happens and that person comes, that they will be an amazing fit for us. I think you also have to just keep your standards high. Like, don't be the person that just settles for any old thing because you're lonely and you're tired, because I understand what that can feel like too. And trust me, I've been trying to be open-minded, and I've kind of like been slipping into this place where open-mindedness can kind of turn into settling for things that you don't really enjoy or love as much. And that's a really dangerous place to be. So keep those standards high, know what you want, know that it's out there. Again, so many people on earth, like, yeah. And also to expand your, I guess, like radius of where you think you'll find that person. I was telling a friend this today, cause I was like, it's so crazy that people expect their soulmate to live within a 5 to 10 mile radius. I mean, granted, people are meeting people in that like range, you know what I mean? But who's to say that your soulmate's not in like Costa Rica or not in like Jamaica? I don't know. But just keep an open mind, travel, explore, live your life, and that person will come. And I think it'll be an even better thing if you have a really good solid foundation with yourself and with your life for when they come in, because now you'll be able to be like, okay, you're here because I want you to be here, not because I need you to be here. And it's just kind of a richer relationship, I think, when it starts from that basis. Okay, the last question. I think this is the last question. Okay, yeah, it is. So this one was supposed to be a podcast topic idea. I actually got an email. This person submitted a request on my website at www.themanifestdaily.com. But this is about saying difficult things. So this person says, saying difficult things in the beginning of a relationship. I just have a few months with my boyfriend and he practically moved in from the first day I invited him over. It became a huge deal because of rent and food. How can you tell someone you are not ready to live with them or just any boundary without being mean or pushy about it? How can you tell when you're being manipulated or being genuinely dealt with? Okay, so I would say when it comes to telling someone, setting a boundary and not being mean or pushy. Again, this goes back to, I am going to keep quoting this damn book until, I don't even know, until forever, okay? But the quote in the book, The Courage to be Disliked, read this book, okay? First of all, read this book. But when it comes down to setting a boundary and coming off as mean or pushy, your responsibility is to set your boundary. Your responsibility is to say, this is okay with me or this is not okay with me. I like this or I don't like this. X, Y, and Z, right? That's on you. And obviously you're going to deliver that respectfully, as respectfully as you can. Just be clear, you know, don't use mean names. Don't blame someone. Just be like, this is what I need, or this is my boundary, and just let them know, right? Their responsibility is to either decide whether or not they want to adhere to that boundary. Can they actually do it? Do they care? And if it comes off as mean or pushy to them that you are being clear about what it is that you want and deserve and can handle and cannot handle, that is not a you problem, okay? I also think, and I don't know if this person is a woman, but actually, I think you are a woman. I think you are. But I also think there's a thing too in society where, as women, when we are very clear and when we set boundaries and when we are upfront about what it is that we want and don't want and you know, what our standards are, we get a lot of shit for it. Like, a man will be like, he'll put his foot down and we'll be like, oh yeah, an alpha male right there. He's assertive. He's confident. A woman will do the same exact thing and you'll call her a bitch. And let me tell you something right now. If you want to call me a bitch, you can call me a bitch, but I'm going to tell you what my boundary is. And I'm going to tell you if you did something to upset me, and I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. So I feel like you literally, you know, whether or not that person thinks you're mean, it is within your responsibility to communicate what your boundaries are. Because if you don't, and they are doing all types of shit that just, it's not sitting right with you, you can't even really blame them because you never communicated what your boundary was. So now they just acting a fool. And because you never told them, baby, don't do this, they gonna keep thinking it's cool to act a fool with you. So you have to be very, very clear. And again, whether or not they think you're mean or they don't like it, that's not your problem. That's not your problem. It's literally not your problem. And in terms of how to tell when you're being manipulated or being genuinely dealt with, I think I feel like it kind of comes with experience of different relationships. Cause I feel like, I'm gonna give an example of when I first started dating, I wasn't the best at telling when guys just wanted to have sex with me or if they were genuinely into me. I wasn't the greatest at kind of telling, you know, if someone really liked me or was interested or if they were, like, I couldn't really tell. And I was very naive in my approach to dating and men because I was so, you know, open. And I think there's a difference between being very like naive and being open, but also being smart about how you're being open and having boundaries, right? In one case, being naive, you're just like, la-di-da-di-da, like everyone's good, like da-da-da-da. And you're just like, okay, you don't even have boundaries really because you're just expecting the best out of everyone, which is not really how everyone shows up. And with the other one, you're like open-minded and you're open, but you also are very like smart about it. And so if something peaks a red flag with you, you're very quick to be like, oh no, like I'm open-minded but not that open-minded. You know what I'm saying? So I think the manipulation and genuine behavior thing, I honestly feel like, at least in my experience, that came with time and different relationships. If you feel, though, something is off, like even the fact that you're asking me this question and kind of what you have stated in this, to me, it's giving red flag. Because why you moved into my house on day one? And then also, too, you mentioned it's become a huge deal because of rent and food, which, again, I'm reading between lines here. But tell me if this is wrong, but it sounds very much like this man's not paying for the rent or the food. And if you are in my house and eating up all my food and stinking up my house and you are not paying rent, oh, we're going to have a problem. Because what? So, yeah, if you feel uncomfortable with that, let him know. If you feel like there's something off about the relationship, whether you feel like, okay, maybe you do want, maybe you're okay with him renting or staying there with you, but you're like, I want you to pay X, Y, and Z amount of the rent, or I want you to handle the groceries. That is 100% within your right to state as what you need for someone to be living in your home. Okay. If they're living in your home all of a sudden and it wasn't discussed, something that was discussed before, you didn't talk about the breakdown of bills, all of a sudden they're here and they're trying to act like they could just be here freeloading. No, because what we're not going to do is that. No. So you definitely have to have a conversation with this man. How can you tell him that you're not ready to live with him? How can you set that boundary? You just have to do it. If it would make you feel more comfortable or if it would be easier, because I'm the kind of person that I, for a long time, I struggled and I still kind of do struggle to have confrontational conversations with people because I get really emotional. Like, it's just so annoying. I'm a Cancer moon. I feel like I cry for everything. And it's not even that I'm sad. It's just like, I just start crying. But anyways, that being said, if you struggle with that as well, what I always found helpful was to like write a note beforehand. So I know it sounds kind of silly to some. It doesn't matter. But you can write a note in your phone, whether you want to write it out like paragraph style or you want to do like bullet points of what it is that you want to say to him, and then let him know you want to have a chat at X, Y, and Z time. And then, or, you know, if he comes home and you're like, I would love to talk to you. Do you have some time? And you could whip that phone out. Okay. And you could just say, I just like jotted down a couple of notes, a couple of bullet points that I want to go over. And I'm going to like look at my phone periodically, and you know, it doesn't matter. You can just look at your phone and reference your notes and talk to him and let him know what's up. And if, I also would say, maybe this sounds really dramatic to some, but I think it's better to be safe than sorry when it comes to interactions with different people, especially if you don't know how they're going to react to what you're saying and you're giving like quote unquote bad news. So I would say that when you're about to have this conversation, maybe, you know, I don't know if you would like want to invite a friend over and have them be in your room or something. I know that sounds like maybe that's a bit much, but, or even just like having someone on the phone at the time, like if you're really afraid of like your safety, or just letting someone know to call you and check in after. So if you're like, okay, you're going to have the conversation with him at like 10 p.m., maybe you know, you want to have someone call and check in at like 10:50 and just to make sure that you're okay. Just something like that. I know it sounds really dramatic, but there are so many situations where, you know, women have been assaulted by men. And I know not all men are bad. I know. But I'm just specifying this specific situation and this specific dynamic because I know that it's a thing. You know, and you never you never know, right? You think someone's like a really good person, you just never know. So I'm always like, better safe than sorry. If you're going to have this conversation, just take whatever safety precaution you feel is necessary with this person, whether, again, it's someone coming over to check on you or calling to check in on you, just to make sure that, you know, it doesn't escalate and or anything like that. You can even let him know beforehand. So it's kind of like a, you know, I'm going to be meeting up with them after, I don't know, just something, just to kind of be safe about it. But I would definitely suggest sitting down and having a very, very straightforward conversation with this person. And don't worry about coming off mean or pushy. Like, set your boundaries and be very confident in the way that you set them. And if he tries to be like, oh, well, what about, just no. If you know what you want going into it, do not stray from it. Do not waver from it. Do not try to go back and forth. This is not a negotiation. This is your house. And he just came in here. This is not a place that you guys rented together. And it's about negotiating who gets to keep the place. No, this is your place. This is your home. He's barely a guest and he needs to leave. And that's how we're going to end this episode. That is how we're going to end this episode. So, my loves, thank you so much for being here, for listening, for tuning in. I really hope you guys enjoyed this chat. It is officially 10 p.m. and I've been chatting with you guys for almost an hour. I'm going to go upstairs, get ready for bed, and watch another episode of Psych. I'm going to edit this in the morning. It's going to be up on Tuesday. And I hope that you guys have a beautiful week, an amazing week, whether you are... I don't even know what I was going to say. But have a beautiful, beautiful week. And I will chat with you in the very next episode. Bye, my loves. Hi, my love. I hope you're enjoying Manifest Daily, whether this is your second or your 22nd episode. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date with our latest episodes. And if you really love this show, I would appreciate it if you could do me a huge favor by leaving a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. It really helps the show grow and reach more listeners like yourself. And like I said, I would be super grateful for you to leave that 5-star review. Thank you for being here and for being a part of this amazing and growing podcast community. Now, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode.